Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of learning how to deal with the emotion of fear as part of a larger discussion we're having about learning to see reality as it truly is and walking in the light of it. When we encounter something that is bigger than us or bigger than the resources we have available to us, something dangerous, something harmful, it stimulates an emotion called fear. We're also talking about worry. Worry is a form of fear. Worry is fear of a future event. It's speculation about something in the future that'll be greater than the resources we have available to us. Worry is based on fear of something that might happen. Now, Let me say this before I say that. As you read through the scripture, you see the phrase, fear not, fear not, fear not, over and over and over again. God's message to his people is always fear not. And many of the times when you see that statement, fear not, it is followed by the statement, for I am with thee. In other words, Almighty God says, don't be afraid because I am with you. The antidote for fear and worry is I am with you. The problem is many of us have inaccurate ideas about what it means that God is with us, and that isn't a lot of comfort when we're facing something worrisome or fearsome. So I want to address that. Now, we started laying a foundation for that yesterday, talking about David. David was a man who knew how to deal with his fear. He was afraid. We discussed that last week. He encountered fearsome circumstances. But what time I am afraid, he said, I will trust in God. I will praise his word. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David said, I will fear no evil because God is with me. And we're asking the question, what would it have meant to David that God was with him? And we said, by David's day, the first six or seven books of the Bible had been written, and I just shared with you some examples of scriptures he would have been familiar with. God's statement to Jacob, that I will not leave you till I have kept, God's statement to Jacob, I am with you, and I will not leave you until I fulfilled all my word to you. God's statement to Moses, when he commissioned him to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt, I am with you. And I am with you as I am that I am, meaning I am what you need me to be when you need me to be it. When Israel reached the edge of Canaan and saw walled cities and formidable enemies, Joshua exhorted them, fear not, because God is with us and we can conquer our enemies through his power. Now that generation refused to go in. They didn't deal with their fear and they lost out on God's will for them, namely the promised land. But the next generation did deal with their fear, and they did go in and possess the promised land. Now, and we left off with saying when Joshua took Moses' place, that's a difficult job. Moses is so famous and had such great successes, and now Joshua is going to take his place. And God's statement to him was, fear not, for I will be with you just like I was with Moses. I was with Moses as I am that I am, and I'll be with you in the same way. Now, let's add another element. When David said that God was with him, he wasn't just speaking a religious cliche or platitude. He meant it literally. David knew that God is present everywhere at once. God is omnipresent. That means present everywhere at once. Let me read Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? See, God is everywhere. There's no place God is not, and David knew that. David is the author of Psalm 139. Now, you're familiar with Psalm 139. It's got the statement, "We're fearfully and wonderfully made." But listen to this. David wrote these words as well. Verse 8, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Tons of stuff in there we could talk about. But notice, David's view of reality was God is everywhere present at once. He is literally present everywhere. That's how he raised his son. When Solomon built the great temple and it was dedicated, let me just read you one line from the prayer that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple. This is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27. "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven behold the heaven, and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." See, his picture of reality is God is with me, with me. Now, David also wrote Psalm 46, verse 1, which says, "God is a very present help in trouble." Sproul's translation says, "an exceeding ready help." Harrison's translation says, "a reliable help when trouble occurs." David also wrote Psalm 42, verse 5, which says, I'm going to read, well, let me read it out of the King James first so you recognize it. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Now notice that last phrase, "I'm going to praise him for the help of his countenance." That's an old-fashioned phrase right there, but it literally means his presence is salvation. God's presence is salvation. If God is with me, I have the salvation I need. Let me read. This is Sproul's translation. "Wait patiently on God, for I shall yet give him thanks, my present salvation and my God." David's view of reality is, if God is with you, there's no reason to fear, and God is with me because there's no place God is not, and his presence is salvation. Now, when David wrote that he would fear no evil, he didn't mean that he never felt fear. We know he did from verses we looked at last week. But in the face of fearsome circumstances, he proclaimed reality as it truly is. This is reality. God is with me and for me, perfectly present to help. And his presence, his very presence, is salvation. Therefore, I have no reason to fear. Now, David also understood that just because he didn't initially see something happening didn't mean that nothing was happening. And we'll discuss this in more detail next week. David knew how to look past what he could see by remembering God's word. As we pointed out above, he had many examples from Scripture of what it meant to have God with him and how that played out in the lives of his forefathers. So just because he didn't see things change immediately, he wasn't moved. He knew God was with him, and God is a very present help in trouble, my present salvation. His presence is my salvation. This is reality, friends. God is perfectly present with you, loving and reigning and upholding all things with the word of his power. His presence is the salvation you need. Therefore, there is no reason to fear. There is no reason to worry. Fear not. Now, we struggle with this. I understand. We struggle with this. But we struggle, one, because we're so dominated by our emotions. When we don't feel God's presence, we conclude that he is far from us. When we don't feel his love, we conclude that he is far from us. Now, everybody listening can relate to this. Have you ever felt like, note that word, felt like God is far from you? Well, that's what your emotions are telling you. Then we reinforce those emotions by talking about how we feel or don't feel. And pull your toes in. I'm going to step on toes here. But we reinforce these emotions by talking about feeling God or not feeling God and his presence in our services. Everybody has walked away from a service and said, oh, you could just feel God today. And then you walk away from other ones and say, God wasn't in that service. I couldn't feel his presence at all. But see, that's all emotions. It's all based on emotions, not on what the Bible says. Do you know what? Reality, according to the Bible, is that we live and move in God's presence. Acts chapter 17, verses 27 and 28 says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. There's no place God is not. God is everywhere present at once. He's omnipresent. There's no place God is not. Therefore, no matter where you are, God is with you. He's right there with you. And as a born-again believer, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, not only is he with you, he's in you. Tons of stuff we could say about that. But you have to realize, friends, God is present even in the most boring and dead services you've ever been in, because there's no place God is not. He was there. Now, granted, his presence may not have been manifested or demonstrated, but he was there. Did you know you actually existed in God's presence before you were saved? I don't have time to do it, but if you read all of Acts 17 here, where it says he's not far from any of us because we live and move and have our being in him, this was first spoken to idol-worshipping heathens. Paul was preaching to heathens in the city of Athens, Greece, and he tells them, you live and move and have your being in him. Do you know what? You and I committed our worst sins in God's presence. I didn't get saved till I was 24. I'm tail end of the hippie generation. I did some pretty abominable things before I became a Christian. I did every one of them in the presence of God. Because there's no place God is not. No matter where I was, there he was. See, you need to let that become your view of reality. If you truly knew that God is with you all the time, and his very presence is the salvation you need, there would be no reason to fear. Now, you were separated. I was separated before we were saved from the life of God, the life in him, eternal life, and we were on our way to hell because of our sin. We had no access to his help or his provision because we had not come to him through faith in Christ, but he was right there all along with us. If God was right there with you on your worst day, which was any day before you were saved, and he helped you with your greatest need when you believed on Jesus, which was salvation from your sin, why would he not help you now that you are his son or his daughter through faith in Christ? If he helped you, if he was with you on your worst day in your worst sin, why would he not help you now that you're his very own? More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison, at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.